All right, I want to read these three verses. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore it's of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Excuse me. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of who? Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Praise God in heaven. All right, we're talking on the subject of training for reigning. And we're in this area now that we are talking about taking ownership, but we're talking in a subtopic to that of seeing the invisible. Seeing the invisible. All right, let's see, can we cut through this thing here? Last Sunday and before, we talked about this taking ownership, that when ownership has come in and become a person really takes ownership, we'll find that they seem to treat a situation a little bit differently, in that when you take ownership of a car or take ownership of a piece of land or whatever have you, or take ownership of your job, or take ownership of what's been given to you, it seems that people treat it a little bit differently. And I've noticed even in rental apartments that it seems when people don't own that apartment, it seems sometimes they don't take the same care with it and of it. So my point to you is that this earth we should see as our inheritance, and the saving of every soul as our responsibility, and take ownership of that. Now, what we talked about a little last time is that a man cannot serve two masters, that he'll either hate one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. The Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 24, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, you cannot serve God and mammon. So mammon could be looked at money or the god of money. And we saw another scripture found over in Luke's gospel in chapter 14. Could you turn over there very quickly, please? Luke's gospel and chapter 14. Now, in Luke chapter 14, it says here in verse 25, and there went a great multitude, went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come after me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this is strong stuff, because he said he cannot. He cannot. I mean, you make a phone call or something, somebody answers the phone, you say, can I speak to so-and-so, and they say, well, I don't know, can you? You see, when I'm talking about can I speak to so-and-so? May I speak to so-and-so? Can I speak to so-and-so? Two different things. Can I speak to so-and-so? I don't know. Can you? See, that can is a very strong word. Cannot be my disciple. Anybody that doesn't hate their mama. Now, that is not hate as we know hate in the colloquial sense, but this hate is having to do with love less. I've got to love everybody less than I love the Lord. And I can tell you right now, that is going to be tested. I can tell you that right now. See, he's talking about following him now, see. And certain people couldn't follow him because they loved their denomination more than they loved him. We don't do it that way in our church. Well, wait a minute. How does Jesus do it? Let's follow him. Say amen to this. So you can't put anything before him. So what he's talking about is our loyalty and our commitment to the kingdom of God or the government of God should be above anything else or all else. As you're talking about. So we talked about that a little bit. And what we said is that the more you depend or we depend on the world, the less light we receive from the kingdom of God. Let's go to that. Let's go over to Jeremiah and chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Boy, I preached so hard in that last service here. I didn't mean to preach that hard. Jeremiah chapter 17. Come on over there. Verse 5. Just put it up on the board. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. Arm is what you depend on. And whose heart departeth from who? The Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when good things come, but shall inhabit the parched place or dry places in the wilderness and salt land and not inhabit it. Blessed be the man that what? Trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when what comes? Heat cometh. So when hard times come, he won't even see it. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. You won't stop your giving. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And look at the next verse. And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, there could be some stuff in your heart that won't show up until pressure comes. And then somebody will tell you, I thought you stopped cussing. Well, I did, but I just had to tell him a piece of my mind. I'm tired of him. No, see. What you need is commitment. You're still trying to serve two masters. Now, if I'm reading your mail, don't run out on me, because I'm going to sew you up before you leave out of here. The thing that we talked about is we talked about these areas that Jesus brought a shift in. Because what Jesus did is he came to take back what the devil had stolen. And the enemy had taken away the real true foundation and laid a false foundation with his Babylonian system. And now Jesus came to bring back everything, the power, the priority, the perception. He came to bring it all back. And we said the power he brought back, the church now has been raised up, has come into the earth as the most powerful institution in the world ever. And the church has a power to annihilate any of Satan's works, any of it. And that the church, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. He said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you. And Jesus said in John 14 and 12, he said, the things that I do shall you do also. So we can duplicate what Jesus did in his name. So the church has strength that cannot be measured. The church has strength that cannot be measured because we're connected directly with God, and you can't measure God's strength. And then we said there's a shift in priority, meaning that foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That's not saying that Jesus had no place to sleep. But what we're talking about here is that people that come into the kingdom of God get born again, but now you got to grow into maturity. And as you do that by following him. That as you become his disciples and following him, the teacher is the Holy Spirit. And many times you don't learn until you get into things. In other words, and I'm not saying this environment has to be, but sometimes you run up on obstacles or difficulties that you can't solve in the natural, and it drives you back down to the Word of God. And it's interesting about the Holy Spirit. He's the teacher. The Bible says we have received an anointing to teach us. In other words, the anointing makes you a know-it-all. And so you can come up with answers that you didn't have before. And so this whole idea about shifting, God shifts us in terms of the power in our lives, the priority in our lives, and shifts us in terms of the perception in our lives. In other words, now we can see something that we have never seen before. Let's go to that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. All right. Verse 9. But as it is written, the eye has not seen. Now that's the natural eyes. Nor ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed, underline that, them to us by his what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except who? What things knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in it? Even so, the things of God no man knoweth but the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Lord have mercy. Underline that one. Might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing what? Spiritual things with what? Spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Got it? Now, that's one reason why the devil doesn't want Christians to come to maturity, because they'll discern stuff. They'll see stuff they've never seen before. Now, let me say something, because I want to go somewhere, but I want to say this. Jesus took care of all our needs at Calvary. Got it? There is enough available for you, your inheritance, to do whatever you can imagine to do in this life. Jesus gave you enough to last till he gets back. All right, now, you just read that. Now, I won't read that anymore, but the natural eye has not seen, nor the natural ear heard, nor the natural part of you has received the things that God has planned for them that love him, but God has revealed them to us by his what? Spirit. By his Spirit. All right, let's go over, if you will, to Ephesians in chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Now, are you familiar with the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 that it says that God, can you put that right up on the board? I'm going to do some teaching here. Put it up on the board, please. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what? Rich. Yet for your sakes he became what? Poor. that you through his poverty might be what? Rich. Now, Jesus accomplished that for us at Calvary. Now, he's talking about you, that he has made you rich. That's it. How rich? Very. All you got to do is look at Abraham, made him very rich. Now, am I the seed of Abraham? Okay. Now, the enemy took advantage of no revelation. In other words, the enemy wants your eyes to see and your ears to hear. I'm talking about natural eyes. He didn't want your spiritual part of you to operate. He knows that you were created. Lord, have mercy. Help me now, Lord. In the image of God and not created like an animal. See, he knows that. When people don't have revelation, they may have a PhD. But they might tell you you came from an amoeba or monkey or Big Bang or some kind of bang. Now, hold it now, and they go back and scientifically try to prove this. But you know where you came from. Now remember what I said about identity. I said that your inheritance always comes in proportion to your new identity. All right? Now, just a minute. I'm getting revelation as I'm talking to you. As we look at this, hold it. Can you hold it just a minute? I need to jot this down because I don't want to tell you. This thing is coming to me so fast here. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, so we were created from God. In other words, we came out of God. We're in Him. We came out of Him. We were made in His image and in His likeness. We came out of God. And we were created in the fourth dimension. So we weren't created in the third dimension. In other words, you're looking at this earth. I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. But we're really not looking at each other. You're looking at my body. You're looking at this book. You're looking at your eyes, natural eyes, see what is material. You got it? So you're looking at that. Now, understand, you were created above that. You were created in the fourth dimension. This is all in the third dimension. You were created in another dimension, and you are spirit. See, you are spirit having a natural experience. You are not natural, come on, having a spiritual experience. So now, what happened when the fall came, Adam could see both dimensions, because he was made for the fourth dimension. And it's through the fourth dimension could he carry out dominion over the third dimension. You got it? And that's why I was telling y'all, when you can't get something done by struggling and worrying and all that kind of stuff, then step back, go into the next dimension. You got what I'm saying? And natural things have to obey the more powerful world of the spirit. They have to. Now, you to operate there, you're going to have to operate by faith, because that's who you really are. You are really God's child. You are really royalty. That's not a title. That's saying you have the final say over the dominion or realm that you dominate. You are the one that calls the shots. Nothing is supposed to be permitted in this earth without your okay. But because man fell. So when mankind fell, Adam had full spectrum. So he could see from here to here in the natural. Then he could see from here to here in the spirit. So he saw that. Some people think he didn't have any use for faith, because faith is a substance of things hoped for. Come on. The evidence of things what? Not seen. Well, it ain't nothing he didn't see. He saw it all. So in that, are y'all with me now? Can I just talk? So now when Adam sinned, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, their eyes were open. Well, their eyes were open all the time. That's why they saw the fruit. But when their eyes got open, their natural eyes, they lost their spiritual sight. And now Jesus came to restore your sight. Come on now. And he came to bring that part that got lost back again, so that you can take dominion again over this earth again, and this earth be put back in divine order, that everything contrary to the rule and justice and the laws of heaven are being brought now under subjection. And that's what she prophesied. The kingdoms of this world are now becoming the kingdoms of our God. That's what's happened. You got what I'm saying? Now, that doesn't happen as long as you're down in the flesh, because down in the flesh is where the enemy wants to keep you. And you can tell when you're down in the flesh because you conform to time. Time becomes your master. It tells you what to do. It imprisons you. You don't tell time what to do. In other words, religion never gives a time. You remember what David said? This day shall the Lord deliver you in my hand. Remember what the prophet said? Tomorrow about this time is going to be played. So you follow what I'm saying? But religion said, well, by and by. Well, I sure hope so. Well, praise the Lord. You know, he never comes when you want him, but you know, he's always, always on time. Yeah, okay. Now, I'm saying to you, that there is a realm that you have been ordained to walk in. Say amen to that. And there is enough available in that realm to do whatever you can imagine. Not just crumbs. See, crumbs. Oh boy, I'm feeling something here. Look what it said. Put something right there in Ephesians chapter 1 and come back over here to Luke's gospel and Luke chapter 16. Very quickly now. See, if you can ever see this, I said, if you can ever see this. Now notice what happened. Lord have mercy. We shat out of behind. Notice what happened is that when... When, boy, I'm telling you, you know, this stuff can be in there, but you got to get it out, you know. When the prophet and Gehazi were there in Dothan and got surrounded by night by the enemy, am I right about it? Then what happened was the king was going to send his army to get the prophet. But they surrounded him by night because they didn't want to see him coming, thinking he needs daylight. But the prophet could see beyond what is natural. That's why the prophet is called a seer. Got it? Now, he got up, both of them got up in the morning, and the servant went out there to get the man of God some water or something. And he saw, looked up, and he said, "Alas, master." I mean, he's crying out to me. They really, if you can put it in Hollywood, he'd say, "Oh, what am I going to do?" I mean, they'd have acted that thing out. "What are we going to do now?" He said, here's what the prophet said. "There's more with us than be with them." Now, notice the prophet was cool. The servant had panicked. I'm saying, when you can see your provision, there's no worry. Come on. You go to bed at night. Come on now. You talk different. Come on. Hey, different decisions come out of your mouth. And the limitation is this third dimension, that when we are in this earth and we get born again, realize that you got born again. Yeah, you got saved, but now you need to learn to live the kingdom lifestyle. You need to learn how to use your discernment that you can see what folk can't see. Say amen to this. And he said, "There'll be more with us than be with them." And he right now, you know, the servant of the prophet was just, now he's confused. He said, "Wait a minute, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 1, 2. Now what, see, he's wondering what's happening. Now what was he looking at? He was only looking as far as the problem. But when you got discernment, you can see the provision. You can see the promise. You follow what I'm saying? And so God is not, there's nothing capricious about the nature of God. He will not frustrate you. He will not give you an assignment and not give you provision to carry the assignment out. Right. Say amen to that. And so what happened is he said, "Lord, open his eyes." And it happened through prayer. And I'm telling you, you can pray in the Holy Ghost sometime. And when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you can discern things. You can see things. Now, we're going to develop that for our M&M conference. We got somebody coming here, and they're going to have a class. He's a prophet. He's a seer. He's going to have a class on how to see stuff in the spirit. I'm talking about it's time for God's people to see things that the world can't see, so we can solve problems that the world can't solve and point them all back to Jesus. All right, now where do I have you right now? Luke 16. All right, so in Luke 16, are y'all with me so far? In Luke 16 verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and in fine linen, clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named who? Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, desiring to be fed with the what? Crumbs, keep going, which fell from rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar did what? Died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So he was saved. He was broke, sick, immobile, didn't have no transportation, but he was still saved. Thank God for being saved. But that's not all God has for you. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes. Now, he's not now condemning a person for being rich. What he is saying is this rich man fared sumptuously, and he didn't share anything. But in this, I want you to see the verse 21, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. What did the beggar desire? Crumbs. Now listen to me. God will give you the desires of your heart. Now notice, when God was pulling the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were instructed to go ask the Egyptians for gold, silver, and David Samuel clothing. No, I just got gold, silver, and raiment. And they did that, and they gave it to him. And the Bible says they spoiled the Egyptians. What does spoil mean, somebody? Stripped them. So they're left with nothing. Totally bankrupt economy. Gone. Who carried it off? The children of Israel. But they came in the wilderness. But now God wasn't done. He sends 12 spies into this land called Canaan. And then they were supposed to come back and give the report. And they were supposed to give a good report. But 10 of them gave, come on, an evil report. They said, now we can't take it. The walls are tall. The giants are just awesome. So forth and so on. And then 2 of them gave good report. They said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Did that make sense? Nope. It made faith. It wasn't designed to make sense because it was beyond their natural abilities. It was something that God was going to have to work with them for to make that happen. Here's my point. Did the 3 million people ever get to see that land? I'm talking about that bunch. No. Who saw it? The 12 spies. But they didn't get to see it. But was it there? So they had already gotten some wealth from these folk. Now they're about to go in and get some from these folk. I'm here to tell you. Come on back over here to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. With your smart self. Look at verse 1. Upon verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Blessed us. Keep going. With how much? No, with how much, sir? All spiritual blessings. Where are they? In heavenly places. Keep going. In Christ. So can I see them? With my natural eyes? Nope. Are they there?
Yes.
Was the land there?
Yes.
Was it plentiful?
Yes.
They brought back fruit that the grapes were as big as grapefruits. In other words, everything is oversized. Your house is oversized. Your cars are oversized. Your business is oversized. Everything is king size. You know it was because one of them giants in there was 18 feet tall. Man, that's a good sized bed unless his legs and feet hanging off the end. No, folks, there were no small bathrooms in there. You got to go in, shut the door, just try to get in there and so forth. No, these were giants. These things had 5 faucets coming out of it that sprays water on you. Come on, and then a jacuzzi that you just sit in right here. Come on, I'm talking about how good that land was. I'm saying that what you see in this earth that God is trying to transfer is only the tip of the iceberg of what God has for you, available to you, so that you can finish the work that God called you to do and do it in style. It's available right now. The enemy would love to keep you arguing with one another, keep you talking about the preacher, keep you evaluating those things. Why don't you put all that behind you and say, wait a minute, I'm about to commit to the kingdom. I'm about to go for the goal. I want to get everything that God has for me, and I'm not leaving nothing up there because I'm a billionaire and don't know it. I need to. You can say what you will, but this is the truth I'm teaching you right now. The devil is a liar. All right, let's see. Now this is extremely important. That was just the tip of the iceberg. What you see available in this earth is a tip. Everything's there. Not only gold and silver, but everything. Healing is there. What you need? New organ? Need a kidney? We got one. Watch this. With your name on it. Because God saw the end from the beginning. You don't put out a car and don't put out parts for it. God knew you were going to be involved in something, and he knew something was going to happen and your body break down, so he prepared a place for you. He got it all ready for you. Say amen to that. And faith is a way that you reach out into the realm of the unseen and take hold of what already belongs to you. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to cry for it. It belongs to you. It's right there in the warehouse, in the storehouse, in the high. It's right there. Just take hold of it and pull it back in with your faith, and that's where it comes to. Need wisdom? Already done. Doesn't make any difference. Now, I know some people, you are like doubting Thomas. Some doubt it. But I ain't concerned about you. I'm concerned about the people that are ready to see the unseen. Say amen to this. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1 here. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Not going to bless us. It's already there. With all what kind of blessings? Spiritual blessings where? Come on. In heavenly places where? In Christ. According as he has what? Chosen us in him when? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, this is a part that I want you to go home, and I want you to say this prayer every day for 7 days. Verse 16, cease not to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto Bill Winston the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of Bill Winston be, of Bill Winston's understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth what? All in all. Now that is a prayer that Paul prayed. And this is a prayer that Brother Hagin said he prayed, and it caused his discernment to heighten, and he began to see things that you normally cannot see. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. You see, God never blesses you beyond your mental capacity. I said, God never blesses you beyond your mental capacity. Adam was made to see and function in both realms, and you have been raised back up now together, seated together with Christ. You got the same thing in you that Jesus had in him, and the Bible describes all the things that the benefactor left us in the will, and they are for you, and you're supposed to get them right now. Now, let's do something else, because what I got to do is I got to get the faith of Abraham in this thing. I got to understand that that's the kind of faith that I'm going to have if I'm going to get these things that belong to me. Now, in this, the Bible says Abraham believed God. Abraham believes God. He began to call things that be not as though they were. Are you with me here? So, what am I saying here? Lord have mercy. Now, just stay with me now. The sower soweth the what? The word. Now, what has happened is that you and I have a blueprint inside of us. And our thoughts and our words have produced these blueprints. And we live within the boundary of these blueprints. So what we have to do is we have to reset the coordinates. We have to reset the boundaries that are inside of us. Because these boundaries are holding us in this natural three-dimensional realm. But we're going to have to get beyond that and get into another boundary. Are you with me so far? So now, what do I have to do? I've got to sow the word for this. I've got to realize that, wait a minute, there is a place out there that I cannot see with my natural eyes that is not as real, but more real than what I can really see with my natural eyes. So God told Abraham, he told him, now I'm going to have to talk to you now, praise God. He told him, he said, now, I'm making you a father of many nations. He said, he told him first in Genesis 15, come look at the stars. So he looked at the stars. He said, what did he say? He said, count them. He said, there are too many to count. He said, so shall your seed be. Now, then he waited until Abram. Now, at this time, Abram had no children between he and Sarah. So now he waited till Abram was 99 years old. Then he came to him and he changed his name. He said, your name is no longer Abram, but now it is Abraham. For a father of a multitude have I made you. He didn't say, I'm going to make you. He said, I've already made you. Now understand, God has already made you something. So now, how did Abram get into Abraham and make it work? First, he had to be more committed to believing God than he did to believing his circumstances or be led by embarrassment. Now, I want you to hear this now, because this is the place where the church is right now. For you to transfer what God has spoken and put away in the spiritual realm for you, you're going to have to call for it. And the way he did it was call things that be not as though they were. So here he is. He said to Sarah, don't call me Abram anymore. Now my name is Abraham. And your name is no longer Sarai. Your name is Sarah. That's princess or mother of a multitude. Now, it's bad enough for Abram because he had children or had a child by Hagar, this other woman. And he then, with that child, having that child, that wasn't a child that was a promised seed. Now, what he did is he said, Abram, you're going to have a child. It's going to come through your own body, and it's come through your wife, Sarah. Now, when Abram was getting older, that's what helped him to get a child by this other woman, because he thought that perhaps he's getting too old for this promise to come to pass. Say amen to this. Now, turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm almost done. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Are you with me so far? So, God promised something. And the way Abram was going to get into that is he was going to have to call things that be not as though they were. I won't read all of it. I'll just read this one verse from Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are what? Possible to him that believeth. Let me give you another piece of that. What's possible for me is solely based on what I believe. It is not based on what other people have done. Because Abraham didn't know anybody that had a baby after they had been, you know, able to have children and now past the age of childbearing, 100 years old, now God says you're going to have a baby. So don't look at other people to decide whether God's word is true. There are things God cannot do for you until you believe. So I looked at this, and Abram then told Sarah to call him that. Now here she is. Abraham, come on to dinner. Now all the people who work for him hearing this. Lord have mercy, them two going crazy. He's calling him Abraham. Now they knew what Abraham meant. It meant father of multitude. So they're saying, oh my goodness. Now the pressure is on them not to do this. But Proverbs 28 and 1 says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. And your timidity indicates your fear. And fear is designed to negate your faith. Say amen to this. You will find that each time they got the miracle is somebody had to go public. Meaning that somebody had, when the pressure came on them, they had to answer righteously. Oh, y'all follow what I'm saying? I'm saying, okay, take for me, for example, here I said, okay, we're going to buy this mall. And I said that. And when I said that, now we had getting up the money. We had gotten raised $3 million in the congregation. Now we just needed $2.2 because the whole thing was $5.2. So we needed that. I went around the banks. The banks wouldn't give me nothing. Said, well, Reverend, we don't loan any money to churches. I said, wait a minute. We're going to have businesses here, man. It's this whole place. You can use it as a collateral. So forth. Well, we wouldn't. So I knew what that was. That was the devil. Now, notice what I was trying to do. I was trying to go to the other side and reach my destiny in the three-dimensional world. And Satan's got you in that realm. You can't get there. Now, thank God for his mercy, because his mercy will have somebody help come and minister to you or whatever. But now it's time for you to get up. So I had to get up. And just like that bank, I was some years trying to raise money. Each time we raised the money and not get quite enough money, next thing you know, we'd run out of the time period that they've given us to raise money, and we'd have to send all the money back to all the people that bought stock. Now we got to leave for it again, and people send the money in again. Now understand, that went on almost 6 years. And I said, Lord, what's wrong here? He said, what's wrong is, you don't believe you receive when you pray. I said, wait a minute, just like that? He said, just like that. Mark 11:24. I got in Mark 11:24, start confessing it. God, confess it. Father, I thank you. I believe I receive whatsoever things I desire when I pray. I believe I receive them and I have them and so forth. But once I believed I received when I pray, boom, instantly somebody called me, another pastor. He said, hey, how y'all coming on that bank? I said, man, we need about $2 million. He said, okay, can you come on a broadcast with me? I went on broadcast with him. Next thing I know, boom, $2 million came in, closed on the bank. Now, how about this building? I went to get a haircut. Down there, get a haircut, and I'm telling you, went in the barbershop. When you believe in God, don't go by no barbershop, don't go by no hairdresser. Now, I'm not saying you can do what you want to do, but I advise you, because the devil knows about it, he's going to tempt you. And so I'm sitting there, reading the paper, waiting on my turn, and the barber cutting hair, and he start cutting hair, and I cut my eyes at him, watch him. He start winking at the other barber. He said, Reverend, let's see, now I heard y'all going to buy that big old mall down there, and winking at the other barber. I said, trying to ignore him. And I mean, he took it on in. He began to drive that thing. You follow what I'm saying? I remember my wife, she was believing God for that job down there in Tulsa. Everybody getting laid off. Nobody there. What you got to do? Get out of the three dimension. Go up to the fourth dimension. And so she went up there and we believed God. And then she got scriptures, put them all over the refrigerator, all in the bathroom, in the toilet stool. I mean, not in the toilet stool, but everywhere. You know, redeemed from the curse. I believe I've received. So forth and so on. And had them scriptures. And then a friend of mine came to visit us. Came to visit me, and he is a schoolmate of mine, and Brother Backers. He came, and she was on the front lawn. He said, hey, Sister Veronica, is Bill in? She said, yeah, he's gone in the house. He's in the house. And then on the way in there, he stopped. He said, you got your job yet? Now, I'm listening at the window. I'm listening at what she's going to say to this. And it's what she said. Now, listen, there was no trembling in her voice. Yes, I certainly do have it. He said, well, where is it? Now, I'm telling you, the enemy will press in. Where is it? She said, I don't know where it is, but I got it. Shortly after that, the man called the house. God had us to put down everything she wanted on the job. She wanted a job. She wanted in computers. She wanted a nice office. She wanted 10 minutes from the house. She wanted this kind of salary and wanted a car with it. And we took that. The man called the house. Could I speak to Ms. Winston? I said, yes, sir, can. And she spoke to him. And then he hung up the phone. The man had gotten hired at this place and had had all these applications, throwing them all out because there was an old application from the guy who was there previously. He was throwing them out, but hers stuck to his hand. He tried to get it off. He called her, said, I think I got something for you. She went up there to interview for the job, came back. I said, baby, how did we do? She said, let's get the card. Got the card. I said, is it in the computer? She said, yep, check. I said, how about it 10 minutes from the house? She said, yep, about 10 minutes, check. I said, how about the money? She said, well, they give me $5,000 more than we had on the card. I said, that was me, baby. That was me. Blah, blah, blah. And then I said, how about the car? She said, they told me to go pick up a new Buick. Now, what am I saying? Come on up in the fourth dimension. Come on up there now, because that's where we've been designed to live. That's where we've been designed to operate. We've been designed to call things that be not, come on, as though they were. And anything in this earth that is out of line with the word of God, we have the authority to put it back in line. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying, look at this. The mall did happen. I'm talking about, oh, they talked about me, folks. At one time, everything cut off, money shut down, everything. And the Pace was half built, hardly no roof on that part, and so forth. The people had all the machines and all the big cranes and everything. They had left, gone, and looked like this man was going to be the laughing stock of the place. I said, God, what should I do? He said, take the whole congregation and come down and march around this place. I'm telling you, it didn't make sense, but it made faith. And I'm telling you, God is going to tell you how to do something. You step back, listen for the voice of God, because he's provided everything you need to finish the work that he's called you to do. You're going to reach your destiny. This year is your year. God. This is what they told me. Somebody called me not long ago, maybe 8 months ago. Hey, Bill Winston? I said, yeah. This is so-and-so. I said, yeah, how you doing? She said, you know, I'm checking on how to get in that Joseph school of yours. I said, okay, well, let me give you some folk to call and so forth. She said, Bill, can I tell you something? I said, yeah. She said, you know, when we were at IBM? I said, yeah. And you said you were leaving? I said, yeah. We thought you was crazy. You know why? Because I meditated Mark 10, 29, and 30 until I saw something.
Yes.
I saw it. And once you see it, they might think you crazy too. Because let me tell you what it does to you. It begins to replace every other imagination that's inside of you. And you see something that you've never seen in your life. Say amen to that. I'm telling you, it's time for you to see the unseen. Watch this. God has made you rich beyond your wildest imagination. Do you believe that? Well, give the Lord a praise for it. What happened? Watch this. Sarah starts speaking about she's a mother of nations, thinking big. What happened? something happened to her. She at first was kind of walking, kind of wobbly. But then she started confessing that word. She started to switch it a little bit. Now, I can angle switch, but that's the way she was. Now, watch this. You know she looked good because in Genesis 20, King Abimelech saw her and said, hey, this is First Winston now. Hey, who is that? Bring her into my, the king ain't gonna take nothing in there, ain't looking good now. I know, because if I was king, I ain't king, but if I was king, I got something to look good right here. This is all I need right here. Let me make that clear right now, because I don't want no mess when I get home. I can show mess. Overrode time. That's when you know you got a hold of it. You become time's master. Next thing you know, resetting. Every system began to come alive again. They had a child named Isaac. Isaac means laughter. I'm telling you, all this that I'm telling you now is so I can get you to start seeing the unseen. Because as long as we've been looking at the seen, we begin to see shortages. Shortages in Haiti. Well, why don't we just believe for $50 billion and go down and build a whole nation? Are you following what I'm saying? Folks, this is what I'm telling you right now. It's powerful. Now, I want to do some more with this. Is it all right if I go further into this? Because we can see something that other people can't see. If you're only seeing what the unsaved can see, you're not seeing very much. No, we can go beyond that. He's taking us all the way back up there to where Adam was. Jesus, the Bible says, as he went to that cross for the joy that was set before him, watch this, he endured the cross. And watch this, despised the shame. Because he hung on that cross and saw you coming home, you couldn't even shame him. And I'm telling you, I remember when Dr. Fred Price said he meditated those scriptures on prosperity, and he was still driving an old Lincoln, one of them old boat-like Lincolns. And now, if I'm not talking about anybody's car, but those big Lincolns. And he's driving it. His daughter had wrecked it in the front, in the back, and on both sides, to the point that when he drove up for a speaking engagement out there in California, his wife wanted to drive up before anybody got there and get out the car and go in there to speak. And when he get through speaking, come right out and drive out so nobody could see it. He said she was a little embarrassed about it. Can I say shame? But if you can see the unseen, and he saw himself riding in that white Rolls Royce. And that's what he got, because he set the coordinates of his own life. Give the Lord a praise. Hey. Did I cover something there? Did y'all get something out of this? All right. If you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again. We want to get you saved. Now, listen to what I'm saying now. I don't know what's happening in your background. I don't know where you come from or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. The Bible said that Jesus died for us all. And God so loved the world, watch this, that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him will not perish, but you'll have eternal life. There's a new life that God places inside of you when you get born again. And I'm saying to you right now, I don't know where you stand in life, But I do know this, God, Jesus died for your sins. He wants right now for you to come home to the Father. And once you come back to the Father, everything resets in your life. Your sins are blotted out. The guilt and shame lifts off your shoulder. I'm telling you, you have a brand new life. Now, here's what I want to do. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm asking you today, and you certainly can join the church today if you'd like to, but I'm asking you today to come home to the Lord. I'm asking you now to put all excuses aside of why you haven't come to the Lord and just come and watch what God does with your life. Look what He's done with me. And all I had to do was call on Him, and I came. Once I came, everything changed. So if you're here right now and you know that God is speaking to your heart about being born again, about being saved, about coming to the family of God, about getting your sins blotted out and making a brand new start, if you know that's you, I want to pray with you right now, and I'd like you to give me that privilege. If that's you and you'd like that prayer, now don't think about it, just listen to your heart. If that's you and you know that's you, let me pray for you right now. Here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith. Step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here and stand with me right now, whoever that is.